Hello and welcome to the C3 Toronto Lent Podcast. Each Wednesday during the season of Lent, we'll be releasing a new episode that'll talk through the different themes and focuses of this time. Our hope is that this podcast helps us walk through the season of Lent together. As we reflect, repent, and get ready for Easter, we hope you're encouraged to go deeper in your walk with God. Now grab a cup of tea or keep your eyes on the road as we dive in.
Okay, we're back with our Lent podcast, week number 6. We're getting there, guys. Growth and maturity is what we're talking about this week. Easter is quick approaching. Yes. So growth and maturity we thought would be a good way to continue our journey to Easter through Lent. Same crew as always. So you're here with Karis and
Jojo
and Katie.
We're so glad you're here today, guys. Listening in, and it's just our prayer that this just helps us all journey together. In theology, in conversation, and in community.
Yeah. I hope, I'm imagining all the conversations you would have had after last week. Last week was a pretty heavy, pretty big podcast week. So hopefully God's given you some freedom around what your meaning is and purpose is in life.
And if you haven't had the conversations you intended to yet, go ahead. It's fine.
It's not too late.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay, so growth and maturity within a Christian context. Let's talk about what does it mean to grow and mature as a Christian? Because I think in life, you know, you're a baby and you're a toddler and you're a kid and a teenager and growth happens to you.
It does happen. Yeah.
And whether you grow up or not is kind of up to you and your circumstances sometimes.
That's a good point.
But in Christian maturity, it's a little bit different. So let's chat through what that looks like.
Yeah, it is a process that never stops, right?
Yes.
Like as soon as you learn a little bit about Christ, you want more.
Yeah.
And then you want more. And then you could read the same thing that you read 5 years ago and it talks to you differently today.
Way.
And
right.
So it's that ongoing process, I think.
And it's a process of, you know, obviously we're in a relationship with Christ, so it's learning about who he is, his character, even with God. And I think a lot of that comes from, like, the more you read the word, you just mentioned that, Katie, it's like things will pop up and it's like, oh, didn't know God felt that way about that didn't know that was Jesus' character. And so I really believe growth and maturity is deepening that relationship with Jesus.
So two really good points off the top there that, like, you're never going to be an uber Christian, like that you're not going to arrive at ultimate Christianity. And you will never study the Bible all the way. Like you'll never get to the bottom of the Bible.
Right.
It'll always have something fresh or new.
Yes. Yeah. I was just trying to think of that scripture, like ever increasing glory. We are all being transformed. This is a good one, though, from Romans 12, too. Yeah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Good. So, we're transformed. We're continually transformed. Our mind is continually renewed through the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you keep learning more and more what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is God does a work in us as we continue to pursue him. And then he starts to make us actually desire what's good and desire what's acceptable and desire what's perfect. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, maybe a couple of years ago, I was okay with less than that.
Sure.
Right.
So there is this process of sanctification. God says in 1 Thessalonians, I think, my will for you is to be sanctified.
Yeah.
And that just means to be made more and more into the image of Jesus, right? Karis, hit us with some theology.
So we have this theology laid out in the Bible, but also in Romans very clearly about justification, sanctification, and glorification. So justification is what happens when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He justifies us. So we are not holy. We are dust, and we are sinful. And so then the price for that sin is our very life. Is our very lifeblood. And Jesus takes that and stands in the gap for us and takes that punishment for us. And then our accepting of that, of saying, thank you, Jesus, that you took that for us. I accept that sacrifice you made. We become justified in the eyes of God. So we become like Christ in God's eyes.
And no debt to pay.
No debt to pay.
Praise God for that.
Like the biggest debt just totally cleared. that you could never repay. And so then we try to repay. Just the natural response to someone giving their life for you is to give our life for them. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says the greatest thing you could, the biggest show of love you could do is to die.
Lay down your life.
Lay down your life for a friend. And so Jesus does that for us. And then our acceptable, reasonable response is to lay down our life for him. And that's our process of sanctification. Mm-hmm. And in this life, we'll never get to glorification. Glorification is what Jesus is now. He is the firstborn amongst a new creation. Mm-hmm. Jesus is in his glorified body, seated at the right hand of the Father, King over all. And we don't get to do that glorification part until we are in our resurrected bodies. Mm-hmm. So in this life, we live in the tension of being sanctified.
Right.
So we're going to fail. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin still, but we keep, like Pastor Katie said, like we're just getting stronger and stronger.
Growing in our faith.
If it please God, and we're kind of committed to that, then
And it's that tension. Probably tension is the most used word on this podcast, but it is that tension of feeling like there's more ground to cover. But resting as a deeply loved person, knowing that God deeply loves us, and that when he looks at us, he sees a person who is justified. Right? He sees essentially Jesus standing in our place. And so it's the motivation to grow and mature is not trying to scrape our way out of a pit. God has already rescued us from that pit. We're on solid ground and we're able to walk confidently toward him. And it's a response. Like, wow, God, you're amazing. I want to be more like you, so I'm going to spend my life becoming more and more like Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Basically.
Yeah, but it's not earning. It's not earning.
You're not earning anything. It's a response.
Yes. Jesus said it all.
Yeah.
He's done it all.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something that you have to like, I got to be more like Jesus. It's like as you spend time in the Word, as you spend time in Christian community, as you spend time in prayer, you become like what you hang out with.
Right.
So it's not like you have to be like, I gotta be like Jesus now with like my very strong will. It's more like, what am I letting into my life that's influencing me?
Exactly.
My outcomes, And then it just kind of happens. I think Pastor Phil has this quote about trees. And trees don't strive for fruit. They strive for roots.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's Pastor Phil.
Pringle.
Those are wise words.
Yeah.
So when you have your roots that's going and finding the water and the nutrients, fruit just happens.
It's a byproduct.
Just what happens in life when you've got the roots.
So what would those roots be in terms of growth and maturity?
Roots. How do we put down roots?
Yeah, put down roots.
Yeah.
I would say being in the Word, that's a root. That's where we get a life source from.
Yeah.
You know, God spoke and things were created.
Yeah.
It's the spoken Word. Walking with others. It's actually interesting. I think Pastor Sam mentioned this in a preach that trees are roots intertwine. And so when the storm comes, they don't get knocked over because they're like, trees also communicate with their roots. Meryl read a book about trees. It's like, it's crazy. Like they communicate through their roots to each other. And so
they can warn of pests and stuff. And
they pass on the message.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's really neat. I mean, when God created the world,
it's cute. It's like he really knew.
He really knew
what he was doing.
A lot of detail. But, anyways, I digress. So I think those are some of the roots. So sanctification, sometimes it feels like, it's like, am I really growing?
Sure.
And it's like, have I really changed? Or like, we hit a discouragement and we're like, oh man, like we might fall back into sin that we thought we had slayed like years ago.
Sure.
And that's just not an opportunity to come back to God and
remind
ourselves that like, no, God is working. I am being sanctified.
Yeah. So
And running back to him.
There's this problem that Paul had that he talks about in 2 Corinthians, that he has like a thorn in his flesh. Mm-hmm. We don't really know what that is. There's lots of conjecture about whether it's a sickness or a person or there's no real answer to that. Mm-hmm. But Paul just boasts about it. He's like, this just gives me a chance to be reliant on God's grace instead of, you know, being so strong and without problems in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, guys, when you read Paul, he is just boasting about being in suffering a lot. And he says, I've had good times. I've had much and I've had little and I've learned to find contentment. And I mean, this man was stoned to to near death or maybe death and came back.
There are those verses where he lists out everything.
Stones thrown at him.
Yes. Yeah. With the intent, of putting him to death.
Yeah.
Shipwrecked.
Yeah. Accidentally started a riot. Like
imprisoned.
Several times. Bitten by snakes. Bitten by a snake in Malta.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a complaint. Mm-hmm. He just goes, great. I'm more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's, oof. And that, it's a tough one because when we start talking about the theology of suffering, it can get a little bit, sort of affronting to our Western way of thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's all that's showing us is that suffering is an opportunity for growth.
Come on.
Yeah.
And maturity.
Yeah.
I remember when I was first a Connect group leader,
yeah.
My first Connect group semester, I think, I felt like, man, there's all these women in my group. And I was praying, Lord, help me to be the person who walks with these women and actually, you know, there's fruit from it. And then my life got a lot worse and harder.
Right.
And then I realized as I was walking with these women, I was actually able to say, wow, I know what you're going through because I just experienced that 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. But there was a lot that was stripped away and a lot that was added to me. Mm-hmm. And God was able to mature me through that. So, don't be discouraged if you're going through something for sure. Because it is an opportunity, like we said in a couple podcasts ago, right? Suffering produces endurance, character, and hope, and growth in character is growth, maturity, all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think, we're not meant to go looking for suffering, which I think has come into some Christian theologies.
Right.
Past, like people who would whip themselves and like, that's not, we don't go looking for suffering.
No.
Not necessarily. I'll come find you.
Just wait. Suffering will find you.
Be steadfast.
But there are certain things that we can make decisions in life that subject us to relying on God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes suffering comes in.
Yeah.
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 But it's not about self-inflicted torture.
Yeah. But that we know that when suffering comes, that we have the one who can guide us, like the good shepherd who can get us through. Mm-hmm. It is a promise from Jesus, fair enough, in John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
So you stand on that promise from Jesus. But then he continues to say, be of good cheer. Take heart. Mm-hmm. I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So suffering is going to happen. It's not an indication of what God's trying to do or show you. That's divination. Like, don't do that.
Mm.
But let God be your comfort. Let him be your strength. Let it toss you onto the rock of ages.
Beautiful.
And there's a verse from Hebrews which actually talks about maturity and growth.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 5 verse 13 and 14 says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness.
Yeah.
But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Right.
And so it's that process of, you know, when you first meet Jesus and you're baptized, you're learning to read your Bible, you know, you're at the milk stage, but like most children.
Memorizing one or two verses out of context, but it means a lot to you.
Yeah. But there's next steps. So
don't stop.
To continue. And I think there's a beautiful thing of, that hunger for like, God, show me more. And I think it requires a lot of humility, right?
So
to not feel like I've arrived.
Mm,
you know, I've had seasons in my life where I'm like, finish reading the book of the Bible and feel like you learn a lot. It's like, you know, kind of feeling yourself. It's like, I know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, right.
And Holy Spirit's like, there's chapter 2 and there's chapter 3. There's more to learn. Yeah. I think even that's why, you know, you might wonder, it's like, why is Lent a practice that people do year after year? I mean, some people, this is probably like their 80th Lent.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because every year, there's God has something more to show them, something to remind them of. And so that verse in Hebrews is great, a great picture of, you know, an infant will go from milk to solids.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they're eating steak.
Yeah, but I think there's an opportunity with this kind of maturity to stay at a level of maturity, right? So you can, like you can say, I read that one chapter, I'm good. Or, you know, I've got my verses that I stand on, I'm good, but realizing that that humility over and over again to realize, no, I still have so much
that
I need to learn and grow through. There's no arrival date. But I think it is possible in Christian maturity to stay immature. Yeah. I think I've seen it. I think, whereas in life, you know, you're forced to grow up and be bigger, but in Christian maturity, you actually have to do something to mature.
Right.
Yeah. You have to actually be intentional about putting those roots down and being a taller, fruitier tree. Fruitier tree.
Yeah. Right. Like there's the concept, when I was in my residency, there's the concept that you don't really understand something until you can teach it to the students, right?
That's great.
So that would be a great step in maturity. It's like, not that you're meant to stand up and start teaching, but just explaining. Can you explain what that verse means to someone else? Can you
pass it along? I've heard that, but with kids. So if you can't explain it to a child, then maybe you don't have a good handle on it.
Oh, yeah. So
there's a good shout out for people who want to.
If you want to grow in maturity, join the kids team. Yes. There amen. Amen.
Someone was praying for a sign from God, and that's your sign.
Throw on that orange t-shirt.
Teach the children.
Bless the next generation. What are some other practices that can help us grow in maturity?
Growing in maturity. Being around other people, I think, so, you know, standard things people might think of, praying, reading your Bible.
Sure.
I want to highlight being in community and something I'm very thankful about.
Something
our
that'll
church.
Mature you real quick if you let it.
is being under leadership, like submitting yourself to a leader. And that's one of the things I'm very thankful for at C3 is, like, I remember when I first joined the church, having, and, you know, I grew up in the church and my family was very involved. And so I think people were just very satisfied with what I was doing. But I think one of the gifts of God of the season of my life in my early 20s joining C3 was being around people who had a bigger vision for my life than I had. And so, part of growth and maturity is being around people who don't allow you to settle. You know, it's like, what's God doing in your life? This and this and this. And it's a loving thing, right? It's that love of, I know that God has so much more for you and I'm not going to let you stay at that level. Let's praise God for what he's done in your life far.
Amen.
And like, let's all walk together and take that next step. So I think growth and maturity does require being in community.
Another great thing about being in community is usually your feelings will get hurt.
Lots of ouchies.
And so, not intentionally.
In church, you will get your feelings.
You should never be in a community where the people are actually intending to hurt you.
Yep.
That's a good clarification.
But as people flail their way through life.
You live close to each other.
Yes.
Do life in nearness.
Inevitable.
Yes. Yeah. It is an inevitability. And a huge way to mature is forgiveness.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right? Like, isn't it crazy in the Lord's Prayer, he says, Lord, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that is a huge way. I've seen people like take leaps and bounds in becoming a mature person by not just forgiving the person, but like actually being able to wish that person well who hurt them.
Yeah. Loving your enemies.
Yeah.
And not that other people in the church are your enemy, but, but like, people who rub you the wrong way or are hard to love or... I don't know, insulted you somehow or,
That's
and
important.
Wanting and still loving them. And love is not, you know, all the gooey feelings. Love is wanting the best thing.
Exactly. And again, that's not a night and day thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. And it's one that the Holy Spirit wants to help you with.
If you can forgive the people in your life that you feel are unforgivable, if you can figure that out with God, if you can go to the Word and let that be the truth, that God forgave you of a debt you can't pay, so you can forgive any debt that's come your way, that'll free you. Yeah. I mean, Jesus taught on it as a pillar for a reason, that that'll bring freedom to your life.
And it's a good practice to get into. Like Jesus says, if you want to go leave your gift at the altar, forgive your brother first.
Yeah.
And then, so sometimes if you feel like you're hitting a wall in life, if you're trying to, you know, God, I'm serving you, I'm doing all the right things.
Right.
Like just go in prayer and say, is there someone I need to forgive? I have to do that all the time.
Right.
And then a name comes to mind. It's like, oops, didn't realize I let that one in so deep.
Right.
I've got to forgive them.
So it's not the, I guess what the Israelites really got stuck with in the Old Testament often was doing the ritual instead of the heart posture. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Jesus was trying to correct constantly.
Yes.
It was like, okay, like the song and dance, like there's a place for that, right?
Right.
Like, you know, these are the requirements of Moses and, you know, you should fast and you should pray. And like, mm-hmm. but like, it's not just performing the ritual.
Yes.
It's have you forgiven your brother? Yeah.
Yes. Brilliant.
So good. Wow. That's a big one.
Yeah. There's also, I love this practical step of growing in maturity is like just educating yourself.
Yeah.
Sunday is an amazing time to be equipped.
Yes.
Pastor mm-hmm. Sam loves referring to himself as a coach or whoever's preaching can be a coach to the church.
Yeah.
But there's also education that we can be doing on our own. There's so many different opportunities and I'm excited for the future of our church to be able to offer more of those opportunities in-house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, shout out to Karis.
Oh.
You're not busy enough. What have you added this year?
I'm taking online seminary. I've just begun. I'm a few courses in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reading a lot.
Yes.
A lot of reading.
A lot of reading.
And you've got a whole life that you're managing on that.
Yeah.
But
you're 5 and a 6-year-old and a film team. And Yeah, but I'm so convicted about being responsible for my own Christian education because if I'm not excited about it, nobody can be for me.
Right.
Another conviction I have is the Bible says about itself that it won't pass away. Jesus says the world will pass away, but my words won't. So this is something that's going to, you know, help me in the next life. I'm pretty sure.
So you know there's a quiz coming. <Yeah. study. laughs>
Valedictorian over here.
Yeah, we're ready. But I think that's really important for us to know why we believe. Like at the very least, not everyone has to go to seminary. Not everyone has to learn Hebrew, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we all need to know why we believe what we believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
We all need to provide an answer
in
season for people who have questions.
And sure.
And if you don't know the answer, like that you know sort of how to find the answers, or we don't have to have all the answers. That's not the point. But that we can walk with people through their questions and their struggles and that we know what Christians believe. And
there's amazing content out there. Lent, I've stopped watching shows that I like watching. And Mom life, put the kids to bed, go do the dishes, and that's when you have your me time to watch whatever junk I want to watch. And now I'm like just watching basically the Netflix of theology through a couple different online platforms that are not that expensive.
It's a really good investment.
Yeah.
And same with buying a book.
Yeah.
Or borrowing
a book.
So many books.
What a concept. Reading a book.
But that's books may not be for everyone.
Yeah.
And so like the SU, Arma, like YouTube has the Bible Project. Really great,
so
helpful.
Yeah.
Those are just great resources we share at our fingertips.
It's never been easier to study the Bible.
No, that's right.
People have been doing it for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
And there's like so much out there. So sometimes, you know, you're going to sit there and read Isaiah by yourself and be like, oh, I just discovered something. No, you didn't. Go and study it and understand the real.
It's great. It's great to have a hunger for the word.
Exactly.
But I find that you get more hungry the more you realize the conditions in which it was written and who it was written to and who was writing it.
Okay.
So if you want recommendations for that, you've got Connect Leaders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Connect Leaders if you, or Team Leads, if you're listening and you don't know what resources, then ask your coach.
Yeah.
Ask your coach.
Yeah. Or come chase down one of us nerds on a Sunday.
Yeah, we all have good book recommendations.
Yeah.
So I guess we have been talking about action items, but let's just highlight what that looks like this week then for growing, increasing in growth and maturity in Christianity. What can we do this week?
How about you hit us with the action item this week?
So I guess like just it is spending time with God and being like, you know, what should I focus on next? Sometimes you're like, I need to pray more. I need to read the Bible more. I need to get on to Theosu. I need to do all these things. And it's just like what's the one
exactly
that you can do now?
That's great advice.
What's the next
seasons
thing
of
do?
Like?
Like, don't you don't life. Have to have it all together this week.
Yes.
So let me just take that burden off your shoulders
and
talk to God about what's the one thing that you can increase in your life. Have you been baptized? If you haven't been baptized, man, get in that tub. Are you fasting during Lent? It's not too late to join in fasting before Easter. What's your prayer life like? Is it 5 minutes? Maybe it's 10 now. Is it every day? Not yet. Well, then let's make that change. reading the Bible, get some friends. Sometimes that can really, when you do it together, find someone to read the book of Acts with, or the book of John, or Genesis. Genesis is awesome. being in community, we talked so much about that. It was amazing. You will grow if you hold on to community.
Yeah.
Serve in the church. Are you serving on a Sunday? Are you greeting people at the door, or taking pictures or whatever? And then, if you need suggestions on books or theology or Bible classes, man, just hunt us down or ask a good friend. We can definitely point people in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then do what God highlights in your heart to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let God tell you and then go ahead and take those steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Cool. All right. Well, guys, next week is our last podcast as wow. So this Sunday is Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we'll have a special liturgy. So if you want to read up on Palm Sunday, it's the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9 when Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's really fun. So you can find that in the gospel accounts. They all have it, of Jesus coming in a royal procession.
Yeah.
It's definitely meant to look like Caesar arriving in Jerusalem. So that's fun.
Yeah.
But it's Jesus and a donkey and some palms and people with their own shirts off their backs. So it's kind of cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. So have a good Palm Sunday. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
Take care, everyone.
Happy church.
Thanks for spending this time with us. We encourage you to keep this conversation going by engaging with the action items and talking through the themes with your Connect group, team, and friends. We'll see you at church on Sunday, 9:30 and 11:30 downtown Toronto location, and 11 a.m. in Hamilton. Find all the details on c3toronto.com. See you next week.